Hello and welcome back to episode 12 of Foolishly Faithful, a Mets podcast. The date is April 26, 2023. The Mets are back home in New York and the game is currently on. The Mets are currently in the fourth or fifth inning against the Nationals. We're down 2-1. So it's a little bit of a short week this week since we recorded last Friday. The Mets have wrapped up their West Coast trip and have played the first game against the series of the Nationals at home. So this first half, we'll jump into just a little bit of some look around the National League, look back at this past series, and a little more of the status updates with some of our injured Mets. So I'm just joined by David today. We don't have Steve or Ray. But David, what do you think about this road trip?
I mean, overall, it was a pretty good road trip. What was the I don't know. What was 7-3? Does that sound correct?
7-3 sounds right.
All right. Yeah, we feel like it was pretty good. I feel the last – look at that since the last podcast, we lost three out of the last four. So
right.
not great. But I feel like overall, it looked pretty sharp. I mean, I'm curious. It seems like hopefully they're not back to form. They lost two games against the Nats. Hopefully they can kind of go back to what they were on the road. But, I mean, they looked sharp. Their hitting was coming around. Like, the pitching kind of came through somewhat here and there. But we were winning games. We were scrappy. Lucchesi, he was sight to see. You know, what is it? Joey Fuego. Yeah, opposite of bats.
Opposite of Joey. yeah, he wants to miss bats. Joey Lucchesi. Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think they look sharp. And the hits were definitely there, as we talked about last week with the series with the A's. Like, took a lot of pitches. Finally scored a lot of runs. It felt really good. It felt like the offense was on the upside. But they kind of petered out at the end of the San Francisco series. And then when they came back home against Washington, right, we got shut out against the Nationals at home, which is just really, I mean, it's like taking the air out of the balloon. People were saying like, oh, you know, coming back from the West Coast, there's still like a day to recover, which I get. But they haven't looked so great in this game so far, right, that we're watching now.
I kind of hope that what we saw was not like a flash in the pan. I mean, I feel like this is not like the 101 win team that we were last year. Frankly, it just doesn't have that same feel to it. Like, we're definitely a good team, but I don't know. We don't have a foot on the gas as much as we did last year. Like, it's definitely a little bit, things have changed. I like the fact that we're hitting a bit. What was it like? Nimmo hit like over 500 or something, or like
Nimmo looked great.
Road trip like that. Yeah, Nimmo McNeil like came alive. Like, people are starting to come around. I think we got Beatty during the
Beatty came up. I think in Oakland on that trip.
Yeah.
It was good. I mean, it's the offense that you hope for. And again, I think we've been saying every week, like, baseball's a year long game pretty much. And there's always going to be these peaks and valleys, but it's just weird how fast it can turn on a dime, right? Like, you have these games where you look unbeatable, and then you come back home against a team that you've just absolutely crushed for the past few years, and is made up of a lot of the lineup that's not too strong, and you get shut out.
Winning games and we're staying in there. I don't feel like we're like dominating each team though. Like, the fact that we got out hit by the A's just rubs me the wrong way. Like,
right? Even though we won the game and we scored way more runs, we still got out hit.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, listen, we take walks, but I don't know. I feel like we're winning. Ultimately, we're winning games. Ain't broke, don't fix it. But it feels like it feels like we're kind of playing to each of the teams. Like, I don't know if they're playing bad against us, but it doesn't feel like we're, like, I don't know, looking at the Rays or some of these other teams, they're just dominating. Like, it doesn't feel like that's the Mets right now.
Yeah, it feels like they almost know, like, it feels like other teams like the Rays and the Dodgers even, it feels like they kind of know their identity. And I think the Mets every year, it's like, all right, what are we trying out new this year that we're going to hope to, are going to, is going to win a lot of games? And last year, I guess it was like, oh, we have new manager, like, consistency, yada, yada. But I still feel like we haven't really figured out what it is that works for us as a team. Like, it's not small ball, because we don't have, it's not a small ball approach. It's not a power hitting approach. It's not like I just get on base and steal and steal runs. I mean, right, we take advantage of situations, but I don't know. The Mets just don't have something that it's like a consistent approach that we can carry as a team. It feels like what you're saying, like we are playing to each team, each series we go in.
That's a really good way to put it, honestly. I actually forgot what word you used, but like just kind of like have their own like
identity. Yeah.
Identity yeah, of the like team. That, yeah. That's a really good way. I feel like, yeah, like the Rays, the Dodgers, the Astros, like those teams are in it. Like they, Yankees, unfortunately, yeah, Braves, like I feel like they have a solid base. Like last year, I feel like the Mets were scrappy. They played small ball. They were first inning. They were like,
yeah,
you know, Marte and was Nimmo, like would run up like 20 pitches first
20 pitches
inning
on the starting
and like,
pitcher. Yeah.
They would always get a run first inning. Like they were electric. And like what Gary just said earlier this game, like they have like 4 runs in the first inning or something this year. Like
the whole
it's
year.
The exact
Yeah.
Opposite.
Complete
yeah,
opposite.
like it's like, I feel like you're right. It's the, what is their identity? It seems like they're trying to find it. Like I was just kind of looked at the power rankings, which is, you know, who knows what this is. This is CBS Sports, you know, who knows what, like
who's making these rankings?
Are,
we
but,
don't
like,
know.
yeah, but like they have the Mets at 6, like, which is the power rankings are just general. Someone is ranking the best teams. It's ignoring records. It's just like, how good are the teams? And I don't think the Mets are 6, frankly, in my head.
That's hard. Yeah.
But
And I don't know. I don't know if it's because, again, we're Mets fans. We're these foolishly faithful Mets fans. But I mean, I agree. I think we're good. And like, clearly the record at the end of the year, like last year, the 101 wins show that we're a good team. But there's something about this team or the Mets in general that's like, I don't know if teams necessarily fear the Mets, right? Like, you look at like the Phillies lineup, and you know, we killed the Phillies last year before they made the World Series, but like, you would go down their lineup, it's like, this guy can hit home run, this guy can hit home run, this guy can drive in 3 right now. And it's, I just don't think the Mets have that, like, have that intimidation factor. And like, even Pete, who's a fantastic power hitter, it's like, I don't, like, sometimes I, like, in the past, his past few at bats, he's just kind of taking curveballs that drop in the zone, and it's like, I don't know. We kind of need that killer attitude. I don't think we've had it this year.
No, I hear that. I mean, they're winning games. So it's,
right.
I'm watching every game. Like they're winning. They're just hanging in there. And I feel like they're keeping games tight. But yeah, I don't know. Definitely Pete's like in half the home runs. And it's, I think it'll come around too. Like I do think it's a long season. I think once we get, maybe it's a good segue to like, we Verlander and Scherzer. I mean, Scherzer's not injured, you know, like at least he's just whatever BS.
Whatever his ailment is. Yeah, who knows?
Yeah, like, but Scherzer is just, well, he's suspended. So he'll be back.
He'll be back on the 1st, I believe, next Sunday, which
whatever.
I think is a game against the Braves, which would be great to have him back against the Braves.
Yeah, that would be great. So Scherzer should be back. I mean, we were just talking before, Verlander. I mean, we haven't seen him pitch at all this year, but he should be back next week against the Tigers, they're claiming. So,
A little blast
I mean,
in
if
the
we
past for him.
Could get, I feel like just to have, like, hopefully he comes out and he's an ace. I mean, even if he comes out and he can throw, you know, a quality start, I know we love that.
Yeah.
But like, if he can go out there and he can just throw, I feel like that just adds an energy.
Yeah. You need someone who can just dominate, who just
exactly.
sets the tone. And
exactly.
That's why I think I liked DeGrom so much, is because it was like, when DeGrom was on the mound, it's like, they're not scoring any runs. It's like, even if it was only for 5 innings, it was like, this guy is the real fucking deal.
Yeah.
And I
the
can't see.
The crowd was just silent. Like, the crowd was just, like, watching
locked
this
in.
Guy. We
locked
knew
in.
What was happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, you know, look, again, the Mets are playing well. We're currently in the wild card rankings or wild card seeding after a month of baseball. The Braves lead the East at 16-8. The Pirates, who knew? The fucking Pittsburgh Pirates are leading the Central with a record of 16-8.
They're not only leading the Central, they're leading the National League. And it looks like now they're tied with Atlanta. I think the other day they were actually ahead of Atlanta.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I hope they can keep it up, because that would be pretty amazing. I'd
crazy.
Love
you
to
saw
see
O'Neal
those.
Cruz, like, there was their new star, like, was he shortstop, I think, who was
he's
it?
a
Like,
shortstop,
infield? Yeah, just like a terrible injury, like knocked out, and they're winning.
And they said screw it, we gotta keep playing even if he's out.
I feel like, I love
I always
it in sports, like sometimes they get like a chip on their shoulder or something. Like, who knows, I could be all wrong, like they just they just do it for him, you know?
I always wonder what it's about. Is it because they're doing it for him? Is it because it's better that he's not there anymore and maybe he like messed up the chemistry, you know, stuff like that.
Interesting.
I always wonder what's
Interesting.
going on behind the scenes. And then the Dodgers, of course, are leading the West. Not with a great record, with a 13-11 record.
No, the Diamondbacks are holding strong there against them, actually. The Dodgers, I think when we play the Dodgers, they were under 500.
Yeah. Who would have thought? Who would have thought? I mean, the Dodgers had a
TBC.
lot of they had a lot of players on that team who I never heard of before, but that just seems like the Dodger way at this point.
Did you see? I think they have four players on paternity leave right now. Something crazy. It was
Currently?
like Muncy. It was, I don't know if it's now or it's the other day, but it's pretty much 9 months after the All-Star game was in LA last year. So it's
That's
like very
so funny. That's so funny.
so absurd. I think it was like Muncy,
All-Star
Mookie
baby.
Betts. Yeah, it was. I'm pretty sure it was like at least four guys. Like maybe coincidence, but.
Forget COVID babies. How about All-Star game babies? Oh
It's
man.
funny because like they were home too, so it's like you know, you'd think if they would like go somewhere else for the All-Star game, but
Yeah.
I guess they just had the week off.
Yeah, the
Maybe
week
that's
off,
it.
right? Especially if you weren't an all-star. Yeah, I'm gonna stay home with my wife. Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so those are the division leaders, and then in the wild card ahead of the Mets are the Brewers at 16-9 and the Cubs at 13-9. The
Yeah,
Cubs, I'm
that's.
also a little surprised they're playing this well as well.
I'm curious what's gonna change. Is this gonna even out as the year goes on, and you know, no one predicted the Cubs or the Pirates in here. I'm
Yeah.
curious if the Cardinals are gonna Card wow, Cardinals are 9-15. Okay, they are
It's tough,
six
right?
games under 500. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so I mean the Cardinals should be better,
That's
but
what you think, right? I mean, but
yeah.
yeah, I agree. And that's the thing. Again, baseball's a long season. There's always teams that start hot and it's hard to keep up. But I don't know. That could be a really interesting division, that Central, if this continues like this.
As it stands now, the NL West is actually the worst division.
Who
The
I
Mets,
would not have predicted that either.
yeah, the Mets have better percent winning percentage than the Dodgers, but because they're in the wild card, they would play the Dodgers. Now we got plenty of time left, but
Yeah.
interesting.
The Mets have a +14 run differential. The Braves lead. I'm sorry, no, they don't. They have a +38 run differential. And the team that actually leads the National League in run differential is the Cubs at +45.
Wow.
It's pretty wild.
And then what's for reference, the Rays are at 88.
The Rays are at 88. That's crazy. And then the Rangers are 14-10 too. And they're leading the West.
Wow.
It's
Man,
weird. April
if only
baseball
the
is
Mets
super
had a guy like
interesting.
DeGrom,
I'm saying
you
that he's leading the way.
know? Yeah.
Well, I think we should wrap up some of the games that the Mets did play on the West Coast. We can talk mainly about the win, which was the 7-0 game that Friday night, where Joey
Yeah.
Fuego went seven spectacular innings.
If we get him to throw quality starts every week, if we can have him now slot in the lineup, that's fantastic. Like that was a first pitcher, only pitcher all year in the Mets throw 7 innings in a
Or seven
game.
innings. And it's his first start. Oh my God. Dude. Wow. I'm sorry.
I'm
Watching the
gonna
Mets
guess
game right
you
now.
are about 2 pitches ahead of me because
This is great. So
nothing is.
David and I are both watching the game. I think my stream is a little bit ahead. So you're gonna hear my reaction before David sees
Oh my God, are you kidding
the
me?
Oh
Again, it gets
shit.
worse. Oh
It
my God.
gets
If anyone's
worse.
not paying attention, there was a pop-up, infield pop-up to Alonso. He charged, he fell off of his glove. He threw it to second base. The guy hustled, don't know who he was. He threw it to second base and it bounced off of, I believe, Lindor's glove, but at least it was picked up quickly.
Oh, that was Dom Smith at second base who just slid
Oh.
Oh dear.
That
Also,
was
Senga's
bad
out of this game.
fungies.
Senga's out after five innings. So
Is that a
another,
pitch count?
I don't know. I don't know if he just because his stuff wasn't great. But who's in? Who's this guy?
Brigham.
Brigham. I have no idea who this man is.
I'm not sure either. That was a bad
Oh dear.
Bad play.
Bad play. Bad
Looks
play.
like our softball team. Oof.
Looks pretty ugly. Anyways, the Joey
Yeah.
Lucchese game. Yes. No, I think, yeah, if he could, yeah, his first start coming back from Tommy John after 2 years, and he throws seven scoreless. He's, I think he struck out nine, four hits, two walks, maybe. He looked really good.
Yeah,
Really sharp as he got later in the game too.
Oh yeah.
And yeah, and he looked, if he can be a reliable lefty, it would be a huge help, especially because the next game, David Pearson gave up six runs. So
Yeah.
yeah,
I feel
we'll
like him
take
and
that lefty.
McGill are, I don't know, like to go five, I feel like is like good for them.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like that's what they're like, I don't think they really are trusting them to go six, like let alone like seven for Lucchese. Like that was a great slot in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Peterson 6 runs, that wasn't great.
Yeah. I don't know if you saw the interview with him after the game where Lucchese was just like beaming. He was like, I can't believe that this happened. I'm like over the moon that I just, this is like a surreal feeling. And yeah, I'm just really happy for him. I mean, yeah, coming back from Tommy John, 2 years out of the league, comes back, just dominates. I hope, I don't, I think he might be pitching tomorrow against the Nationals. I hope the home crowd gives him a rousing ovation,
Oh yeah,
because that guy
I saw
deserves it.
something. He's talking to, like, I think his mom or his parents, like, go see him. He was like, I don't come to see my games like live. And then he's like, it's my first game in 2 years. Like, this has not happened in a long time. I
Right.
come see. And then he shows him a great game.
He's like, I guess I'm inviting them to every game from now on.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then, so after that great win, well, also in that win, I have to always talk about the Lindor-Guillorme up the middle. Like that combination there, I think Lucchese had like three or four double plays behind him. And anytime Lindor and Guillorme are turning two up the middle, it looks so good.
They're
They're
smooth,
both
yeah.
so smooth. It's and they were showing off a little bit. The lollipop throws, it was fun.
Yeah, I don't know what's happened since. Maybe I've just noticed a few more errors, but I feel like Guillorme made like a weird play. I think it was last night. He like looked the wrong way on grounder. Like Escobar earlier this game had one just roll right through his glove.
Right
Like
under his glove.
Alonso just missed a pop up. Like there's some interesting fundies
Something's
going on.
odd. Something's off a little
Yeah.
bit. Yeah.
Beginning of this year, they had like no errors or
They were
something for a while,
sharp.
or maybe one. Yeah.
They've been sharp all year. Yeah, it's something's a little bit off. I'm not sure what it is. But you know, we'll see how it goes. Let's see. Well, last week the Mets, as we heard on the broadcast today, the last week the Mets were the only team in the major leagues without a steal.
Yeah, I know there was a broadcast where I just saw that. I don't know what that means, really, but like, you'd think if we could throw some in there, maybe we just need base runners for that, you
Yeah,
know?
it's curious, right? Because we, because I feel like there was, I feel like I heard maybe last week that we were leading the league in steals. And I thought it was becoming part of this, like this again, this Mets finding this identity of how we're going to play the game and how we're going to win. And I don't know, it's weird. It's weird to have none, because I like stolen bases a lot. They're very exciting.
Yeah, I liked it. I don't know, maybe we just didn't have the opportunities or something, but it's weird that we had zero. Looks like we had one attempt. I mean, that's seems like Pirates. Maybe, you know, they're killing it. They had 11 stolen bases, zero caught stealings. So
Wow.
I don't know. I guess it's kind of it was the White Sox also had one attempt. So maybe that's on par, but yeah, most teams have like decent amount. Or like more than one, so
Yeah. Well, I hope it be I hope it can continue to be a part of our winning game plan, because I mean, extra bases are always great.
yeah.
Let's see. Before we jump into the injury updates with Verlander, I want to talk about Alvarez. I know we're both a little frustrated with how things are going.
You know, I feel like everyone, all the maybe I'm just listening to an echo chamber of Mets fans, everyone wanted him up right away. Oh man, where's Alvarez? And then
Yeah.
it's oh, and now it's oh, this guy sucks. He's can't hit, but I feel like he's always up with the bases loaded. He
He's
just
always finds himself in really high pressure situations. And we
yeah.
expect the most of him, because you know he's supposed to be, you know, the prince that was promised, you know, of this top prospect. But maybe it's asking too much. I don't know.
I mean, He's batting better than Nito this year, actually.
Oh, wow.
In 182 versus 143. So, yeah, not great.
Not too great numbers to compare to each other.
No.
But it looks like his catching is, and his game calling is going really well. I mean, he was behind the dish for the Lucchese game, and
really
everyone was talking about how great of a game he was calling, and like Lucchese said, I couldn't have done it without him. So I think him getting the reps at the major league level, especially for his defense, is really important. And I think is helpful for his development. But his batting, it's like, I think the Mets are at a point where they're like, oh, his bat is there, so we don't need to focus on that right now. We just need to focus on his catching. But his bat needs work too. Like, he's chasing everything. He's swinging at everything. He wants to hit everything, which is maybe just like the effects of being 20 years old and in the major leagues.
Yeah, I mean, it's similar to, I feel like Steve said this before, and it's like, you know, Beatty at least is like, this guy, why is he not playing every day? Like, he's not starting today's game. And it's like, it's weird because this guy should be the face of the team. He should be the new starting third baseman.
Yeah.
Or, you know, for this year, for next year, like Escobar or whatever's, you know, going on with that. Like, I don't think he's kind of, especially Beatty starting, like, Beatty's the new guy here. So, like, he should be getting, like, all right, lefty, righty, like, who cares? This is in the playoffs. Like, this is, we got plenty of years to go. He should be starting. He should be playing.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I guess, like, Alvarez is a little different. Maybe it's catcher needs to, you know, take some time, and hitting's not as important there.
Yeah.
I feel like it's Alvarez has got to just.
But that's the point of him catching, is that he can bring the bat to the catching position, and you know, in the way that like the Phillies have an enormous advantage having Real Muto as their catcher, because this guy hits like he's a right fielder or a third baseman, and you can slot him in a catcher. I don't know, his offensive development needs to be there.
I feel like the bat is there, but like the, I don't know what else you call it. Like he can hit the ball, but he's just not. He's just swinging at everything.
His
he's like
discipline.
Chasing things.
Yeah. His play discipline needs a lot of work. I think like, here's the thing. Like, he is a smaller guy. I think he's like 5'10". Like, he's not a big hunking power hitter, and he's not this enormous guy. So I think if you're a little shorter, you can force pitchers to throw you stuff in the zone, because you have a smaller strike zone, at least, you know, to the human eye, who, you know, to the umpire, even if you're supposed to call everyone strikes in the same, you know, it looks smaller because you're a smaller person. So, you know, I understand you want to hit everything, but you got to let the strikes come to you, and you got to, like, when you have strikes, you pounce, or you take your base and you take a walk. And I think that's what good power hitters do, is like, you know, Soto. Well, a lot of people don't pitch him anymore because if they throw in the zone, he hits it out of the park. So,
yeah.
And again, Alvarez has even more of an advantage because he's smaller. But I don't know. Yeah. But again, like, play discipline is not something that it's harder to teach. It's harder to train because it's so instinctual. And like, there are still major league veterans who have awful play discipline, namely Javi Baez, who will just swing and fucking anything that comes near the zone.
Like, a terrible example. Like, I hope Alvarez is nothing like.
That's what I'm saying. Like, crossing our fingers, it never gets that bad.
He has zero walks on the year, at least in the majors.
Alvarez,
yeah.
I think that's great data to support my point.
Yeah. I mean, one thing about like Beatty, sure, whatever he should play, he doesn't need to, at least. Yeah. I feel like we have Escobar, we have Canada, we got other guys that could play third that have slotted in. Like, whatever, Beatty, like, he really wasn't here. I don't know why, you know, whatever, he could be down. Like, Alvarez is, we really don't have a choice. Like, you know, he's like next man up. Like, catcher is a way different position than like infield, let's just say.
Yeah.
Like, Navarez got injured for what, he's 6 to 8 weeks? Like, it's been what, 2 weeks? Like, Alvarez is, what are we going to put someone else in over?
Yeah.
Alvarez is here. Like,
he's there out of necessity. He's not there out of like, oh, let's try him out. It's like, now it's like, it's time to play, bro.
Yeah. So maybe we should let him, like, I mean, unfortunately, he really does need plate discipline. Things need to come around. But, like,
yeah,
I think we do it. Maybe we just need to temper expectations a little bit. Like, Beatty, how's he doing? He's like, he's in 250. Like, he has a walk on the year, you know?
I feel like I've seen more RBI from Beatty, though, I mean,
yeah, exactly. But like, at least Beatty is like has. Beatty should almost be like trying. You know, could be getting more. Like Alvarez is really here. Yeah, we really have another choice with Alvarez.
yeah. I guess we'll just have to see. This is the annoying part about baseball, where just patience is required.
Yep.
Speaking of patience, we've been very patient with our dear friendly ace Justin Verlander, who's finally
segue,
on track.
By the way,
thank you very much, David. Do you want to take the news on Justin Verlander? Who is he going to pitch against?
He's supposed to pitch against the Tigers, the team that drafted him. So it should be next Wednesday. So it should be, what is it, a week from today, Wednesday? It should be a week from today.
A week from today. Yeah, a week much from today, awaited.
We'll have Verlander back.
Much awaited. I think it's I mean, you and me both, and every Mets fan in the world has been wildly anticipating Justin Verlander throwing off a mound in a Mets uniform.
Yeah, I mean, like I've said, it's like, oh, a Verlander quote. I would pitch if it was the playoffs. Like, clearly, since you've waited now over a, what is it, a month? Like, I feel like you wouldn't pitch if this was the playoffs. Like,
yeah. I don't know. I think there could definitely be more to it that we don't know. They're just nursing it. They're taking their time, but it's still, it doesn't feel great. It's like, this is the guy who is, you know, is coming in to be the ace. And
also how many, I don't think he's really throwing, like, what is it, like the sessions or whatever. He's not really throwing
the rehab.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. So he's pretty much like, he threw a little bit. He's not like working his way through the minors to come back. He's just going. So
wait, he's not doing a rehab assignment. I thought he was going to.
Maybe one, but he's not doing like a. I thought I read that he wasn't doing like a typical rehab assignment.
Okay.
At least. So like, he's probably on a pitch count though. He's probably not going to be going out here and like throwing like 100 plus. Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. He says, all right, Verlander is expected to make a rehab start on Friday, location unknown, before hopefully making his debut on the, against the Tigers next week. He's expected to throw 4 innings. So.
Yeah. At least he'll be back. Honestly, at least he'd be throwing in major league games. If he can get 4 innings, like, fine. Like, why location unknown? Like, they won't just say
they don't
like,
want the press throwing... there. Yeah, yeah.
I guess so. But like, they can't just say like the state. Like,
the state. What if it's not? What if it's on the moon? What if Steve Cohen has a secret space jet?
Oh man,
he's gonna throw in some low gravity ultra rehab assignment. I don't know.
Oh, maybe that's it. Yeah, that's, Steve Cohen doesn't want to get the insurance guys like on his back.
Justin, this is a secret mission. Put on your helmet. We can't be seen.
That's why he's been gone so long, because the travel time takes so long to get to and from the moon.
Yeah, it's all the oxygen depletion is just really fucking his rehab up.
That's how he can pitch till his 40s. That's the secret.
Right. Just
thought that
oxygen.
People go to Colorado to train because of that high elevation.
No, you gotta go higher, bro. You gotta move way up. he's training with a monk on a summit somewhere.
I can see him training with a monk. I feel like that's the most legit thing we
maybe
just said.
Yeah. All right, well, I think I'll probably wrap up our first half. We'll be back in the second half with a special guest, perhaps.
Who could it be?
Hello and welcome back from break. We're entering our second half, and as promised, we have a special guest. Now, our special guest was, and still is, probably our number one fan of Foolishly Faithful and Mets Pod. And so we're delighted to have him on today. Brooklyn's own and big Mets fan, Ben Marcus. Ben Marcus, welcome.
Thanks so much for having me, Eric and David. It's great to be on the show.
We are pleased to have you. So Ben will be providing us with a couple things in this second segment, but in the first part of which is a trivia question. So Ben, take it away for the trivia question for this episode.
So here's our trivia question, based on the fact, you know, how to relate it to the Braves, because we're coming into a big series against them, right? So which former Met, or which Met, I should say, was originally signed by the Braves, but then had his contract voided and signed with the Mets?
Signed by the Braves, and then his contract was voided.
It was voided before he even stepped foot in the organization, and then became a Met.
Oh.
You said former and then he switched to regular. So I don't know if you misspoke, but I'm going to assume that it's a current player.
Don't so I will tell you it's not a current player.
Okay.
Is it a player that was alive in our lifetime?
Alive in our lifetime, yes.
I'm sorry, played during our lifetime. That's what I meant.
So he has not played during our lifetime, but you know this name. That's all I'll say.
Okay. Met.
This might be our hardest, most obscure trivia question.
It's pretty obscure. It's going to be tough because I have so many follow-up questions. Like, who voided his contract? Was he drafted by the Braves?
Why was his contract voided?
Well, I can tell you why it was voided without saying his name if you want to know that.
I'm gonna make a guess, but I'll save it for later.
We should save it for later. But here, can you tell me? I want to know why his contract was voided.
Okay, so the contract was voided because the college season had already begun, and the commissioner voided the contract because he was already playing in college at the time. It's a weird thing.
Interesting. Okay, so it was a young player of some sort.
I think my guess is wrong. Yeah, I guess some young player that was drafted out of high school or something.
Right, and then started college, and then...
Wasn't like Doc was drafted. Like he was like, I think he like started young, right?
That's interesting. Right, you got to think about young players, young, really good players. And I don't think we'd get this if it was some obscure. It has to be a big-time bet.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll mull on it.
Yeah.
Maybe... In your story, Ben, you'll give us some Easter eggs and we can pick up on what the answer is. All right, so moving on to this next segment. We're trying a little something different this week because we're sort of on the short week. We recorded, you know, less than a week ago. What we're gonna try to do, and maybe throughout the year as we have time, we want to tell some stories of our experiences watching the Mets live. Because I know it's such a big part of being a Mets fan, sort of, you know, being at Shea Stadium, being at Citi Field, cheering on the team, being uplifted, having your heart broken. And so a lot of these stories, I feel like, will probably end in happiness, but I think it's fun to just hear people's experiences at some of the games they've been to. So we're going to try to make some of the time this year to share some of these fun memories as a Mets fan. So to start us off this week, we have Ben Marcus, who is going to tell us about his time at a game in 2015. Ben?
Yeah. I have to say, you know, that was an exciting year, especially this game. So I was at the game the day after Wilmer Flores thought he was going to be traded. And the atmosphere there was crazy. You know, when he got up at the plate, everyone was just cheering him on. We were cheering him on. We didn't expect much. You're just like, it's great to still have him on the team. Little did we know that in extra innings, he was going to hit a walk-off home run. And that just made the entire stadium go crazy. But that wasn't even the craziest part about it. What started the game, actually, is that Matt Harvey pitched five perfect innings, and we thought that we were going to see history at that time. Had nothing to do with Wilmer.
Right.
And I'm sitting behind home plate while this whole thing's going down, and our friend Doug, his dad texts him and says, "You're watching a perfect game," and that was the end of it. After
you can never
that,
do that.
Wow.
Can't do it. Harvey gave up a hit right after that. I mean, that's, you know, you're jinxing the pot. It doesn't work.
Yeah. So this is... because I remember that series was against the Nationals, but I feel like Wilmer got traded during during the Padres series right before. It was like a stretch of like five games that was just a really wild day.
So they just started the series. I think it was the first game because it was a Friday night, and I'm pretty sure they were pitching against Steven Strasburg. So that was even bigger, you know, because at the time the Nationals were still a pretty good team and a rivalry. So there was just so much energy going in there. And it's the middle of summer, right? Where were in the playoff hunt. It was the middle of summer.
Might have been August, or no, it had to been July because the trade deadline's at the end of July.
You fact checking his fun story.
I'm trying to get on the same page because this was an important game for me too. I remember. I mean, I wasn't there, but it's a very important memory. Anyway, so Strasburg started this game.
So I'm pretty sure, if I remember correctly, that it was Strasburg versus Matt Harvey during that game.
Uh-huh. You know, I think I am going to look up this game, Dave.
I'm trying to figure it out.
we're trying to determine the date of this game as Ben tells the story. So not to necessarily fact check, but just to supplement with some more information.
Good catch on that, yes.
So I think I found it. It may be July 31st, 2015.
July 30th.
Would that make sense, or is that too late?
Yeah, that definitely makes sense.
That's about what I'm finding as well, yeah.
Let's see. What is the stat? 7/31/2015. Wow. I can't believe that was 8 years ago, that game.
It's fair that our memory is a little bit off. I feel like some of these games just blur a little bit together.
Seriously. All right, so we're pulling up the box score. This game went to 12 innings. Attendance, 36,164. Almost four hours.
We got one out of 36,000 right here on the podcast.
you're like an NFT, Ben. You know, limited quantity of fans in attendance.
So I was wrong. Gio Gonzalez actually started the game.
Gio Gonzalez started.
That was a major point of the story.
Steven Strasburg rivalry. No, this is good.
Gio on the wrong other team. Sorry. Yeah. Matt Harvey probably did still start.
Matt Harvey did start. Matt Harvey went 7 2/3 that game. Wow. 5 hits, 1 earned run, 9 strikeouts. That's a pretty damn good game. That's like pretty vintage Matt Harvey. Tyler Clippard finished out, I guess, the 8th inning. 2 walks and a strikeout. Jarice Familia. I'm sorry. Well, Tyler Clippard must have finished one out and then gotten one out the next inning. Sorry. Familia finished that game, or finished that 9th inning and then probably the 10th. Hansel Robles, point to the sky for every pop-up. Don't forget him. Pitched what appears to be the 11th. And then Carlos Torres got the win in the 12th. Yeah. So you're saying that... So. Wilmer, but what I remember from that Wilmer trade was that, like, people were cheering because he was crying on the field in the game that he thought was going to be traded. So I feel like every time he came up afterwards, people were giving him an ovation. Do you remember that?
Definitely. I mean, every single time, I don't remember the exact chance, but we were chanting, we were like, Wilmer, because no one wanted to see him go. I mean, he was just a stand-up guy. This was the type of guy that, you know, after he hit a home run, they would come over to him and the media would get up there and he's just like, you know what? I'm not a home run hitter. So modest. And that's what I really liked about him, you know, especially in the last series, seeing him in San Francisco, it was just like, it's nice to see him thriving.
Yeah. I'm glad he's found similar adoration from fans for the different teams he's played on afterwards.
Absolutely. I mean, he's a respectable guy. Like, you know, he grew up in the Mets organization. I think he was, I don't know if he was quite there like Jose Reyes, you know, when he was like 15 years old, shipped in, but he was there a long time and really grew up with them. And that's really remember most about having him on that team. Like, you know, he didn't play every day, but in that 2015 team, he had a part, he had a presence. They asked him off the bench. He was there. They wouldn't need him in the field. He was there. And, you know, in true Met fashion, sure, can't remember at all, but I'm sure we had a lot of injuries that year too.
Precisely.
When the Mets just played the Giants, though, right? We had a lot of old friends there. How was their, I forget how they react to Wilmer?
I don't think there was a huge reaction. I think it was, you know, just kind of like, hey, it's Wilmer, because we were in San Francisco, but. I got to tell you, watching Darren Ruff, I got really pissed off.
that was hard. It was hard to see him hit an RBI.
Well, he's almost batting 300 now.
The thing about Wilmer, though, is that he's always been clutch. And I always feel like he hits a home run almost whenever he plays us, which I kind of love him for because he's just a likable guy. And it's funny because it's, you know, Gary and Keith and Ryan are all pretty professional, well, most of the time in the booth. But, you know, Gary will always call a player usually by his last name or use the full name. With Wilmer, it's always just, oh, Wilmer gets the out at first, or Wilmer will do this, as if, you know, he's still on the team, which I really appreciate as well.
That's nice. I didn't even notice that. It's a good catch.
So where were you sitting, Ben, at this game? Do you remember?
So I must have been like the 15th row or something like that, right behind home plate. Because a buddy of my brother's at the time worked for SNY, and he got these tickets. And the only thing he says to me is, you don't get thrown out of the game. Like, why am I going to get thrown out of the game? It's a Met game.
Those are fantastic seats.
It was amazing. It was probably some of the best seats I had. However, yeah. I actually did have better seats once. On the first baseline, first row.
Wow.
How much did you pay for those tickets, Ben?
Kill
someone for those tickets?
It's actually another good story. So I actually worked at a camp run by the Mets, and they got us the tickets for free at the end of the summer because I was a counselor. Mm-hmm. And we got to be in the first row. It was amazing.
I was only a camper at that camp. Yeah, that makes sense why I didn't get those perks.
Oh.
Well, they also want a limo, but I don't think I took the limo. I decided to take the train for some reason.
Wow, what a decision.
Do you remember anything else about this game, Ben?
Let's see. Matt Harvey went 7 2/3. Wilmer Flores hit a home run. Probably had a beer too.
Okay. Do you have any hot dogs? Do you have any hot dogs?
No hot dogs for Ray, that's for sure. In all honesty, you know, I just remember the atmosphere. I think that was the biggest thing at the time. I was itching to go to that game, or to a game in general, because I was like, I'm pretty sure this may have been my first game of the season for that year. And I'm like, I need to see the Mets. You know, they're in the playoff push. They are doing fantastic. I was like, I just got to be there. And that's really what I remember most. It was just the atmosphere, you know, catching some friends, hanging out, watching the guy in front of us get belligerently drunk and get thrown out of the game, which was nice.
It's almost you. Know, you.
It's always fun.
Well, that's why we go to the baseball games, you know, is to have those experiences. And, you know, sometimes you get the really fun nights like this one.
Yeah.
If I recall, this game was also right before the Mets. Well, or I think the trade might have happened, but he wasn't playing yet. Yoenis Cespedes was not on the team yet, but I think the trade had just completed.
Yes. Thank you for reminding me of that piece, right? I thought I was going to see him that day, but he actually came in just the next day.
Right.
And this is actually a good story, too. So your own Steve said to all of us in a group chat, you know, it's a Cespedes for the rest of us. And then 2 hours later, Jerry Seinfeld tweets it online, and we got so pissed off. You're like, are you kidding me? Steve came up with that.
Your joke got poached by the man who created the Festivus joke in the first place.
It was taken away. Yeah. Sorry, Steve.
Unfortunately, that game, he did not start because, I don't know if you guys remember this player, Eric Campbell, who was our cleanup hitter for many, many games that season before Cespedes arrived. Eric Campbell got the start in left field. I wonder what he's up to now. I think he was playing in Asia for a bit.
Don't even remember who that is, to be honest.
Good.
But talk about someone, a blast from the past. You know who the first base coach is for the Nationals?
Currently, Eric Young. No. Eric Young. Well,
Eric
I mean,
Young.
And the Nationals' current base bullpen coach is Ricky Bonas, who was the Mets bullpen coach for many years.
Oh, no way.
Starling Marte and Francisco Lindor just both struck out with runners on second and third.
Well, you were a pitch ahead of me.
Sorry for the spoiler. That's really bad. Because we usually hit Carl Edwards Jr., Carl's Jr., pretty well. He's currently pitching for the Nationals. Well, Ben, that was a very fun blast in the past. I think my memory from this game is tapped as much as I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I'm surprised you guys remember that much about 2015. I could barely remember what I did this weekend. So
yeah. Well, I think winning Mets baseball will always have a special few file cabinets in my brain.
That's fair. I got a couple stories, but I'll save them for the next time.
You save them the next time. Okay. We'll have many, many Mets stories in the future. Perhaps more interesting, perhaps less interesting. Only time will tell. We're not really sure where this will go. But I appreciate you coming on to share your experience, especially since the Mets are playing the Nationals right now.
Should we get the trivia answer?
I think we have to make our guesses, David.
All right, I'm going to go with Doc Gooden. I know he debuted very young, what I recall, and I'm just going to stick with that and hope. But I feel like he was out of high school. I feel like he didn't really play college, but I wasn't alive at the time, so who knows how my history is. I'll lock him in.
I think that's a great guess, David. I think you're probably right, too. Because I think in terms of, like, high school players, like, I mean, I'll just say Straw. I'll say Strawberry. Just, I mean, I think Straw was pretty young. He definitely went rookie.
That's
of the year.
Also a good guess.
So I'm just trying to think of, you know, players who are really good when they were young that would have, you know, made sense for this. Oh, our boy Alvarez just came into the game, and Beatty. Oh boy.
Strawberry debut age. He was.
So he was 19 when he debuted. Darryl Strawberry. Not Darryl Strawberry. Doc Gooden, but. So you guys are both locking in those guesses.
I'm locking in Daryl Strawberry.
Locking in Doc.
All right. So they're actually both wrong.
Great.
You really held us in suspense there. I thought one of us was right.
It was, well, David Wright. I don't know. Who was it?
Well, if you want to take another guess, I'll tell you it's a all-time Met. His number's retired. And he is probably one of the best Mets we've ever had.
So like Seaver?
Tom Seaver.
It is Tom Seaver.
Wow.
Tom, I mean, Terrific.
How the hell would I have known?
You,
man,
you,
ought to not.
He
didn't
was know originally about
Tom's high school career?
Come on, man.
Well, he was originally signed by the Braves, and because the college season started, the commissioner at the time, William Eckert, actually voided the contract. So it was only the Mets and the Phillies and the Indians that were still interested at the time, and the Mets won actually a lottery to sign him.
Wow! I mean, that's awesome. Did not realize that. Honestly, surprised that kids went to college at that time. I feel like back when, like the '60s,
yeah,
I would have thought that they just went straight through high school more often.
Right?
I didn't think that would be much. Yeah, that's honestly why I was thinking of the 80s and the 86 Mets. I figured the 60s was just like, yeah, like, we don't need college. And
right, I'm saying like, oh, hey, kid, you're good at baseball. You want to play professionally? Yeah, sure. You don't want to go to college? Nah, I'll play ball.
I mean, we have plenty of players, you know, that did that, right? That came straight from high school. I mean, Doc Gooden, right? 19 years old coming into the league. He didn't go to college, didn't need to go to college.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I just quickly searched about this. Maybe it needs more research into history, but apparently after Seaver registered at college while working in the raisin trade. Wow. What a fun fact.
A raisin
so,
man.
Growing raisins, but instead decided to be a pitcher for the Mets.
Man, are you telling me we could have? Are you telling me we could have had his face on one of the raisin boxes? That would have been cool.
Man.
Like a Wheaties box, but for raisins. It's quite a life.
Let's get Steve Cohen to sponsor next raisin event. Free
put
raisins.
Tom Seaver's face.
Tom Seaver's face. Yeah.
Free raisins. Sponsored by Sunmade. Speaking of sponsors, watching this game right now, I haven't seen the new patches until tonight. We are complaining about the patches being really big and ugly, and now they are blue and much smaller. So
they blend right into the blue on their jersey.
They blend right into the blue on these home blues, which I like.
When they're wearing I think they're wearing the white jersey last night, it looked even better. I was just so happy. I'm like, thank you, Steve Cohen, for telling New York Presbyterian that their patches sucked.
Yeah. I'm glad that
I will
I'm
still say I'm against all the patches. I don't feel like we want ads on. I don't want ads on jerseys, but I don't think that's. I think we're gonna steer into that skid.
I'm on the same boat as you, David. but I don't think we're ever going back, sadly. It'll be
we're going to continue on this way
until they light up. They're going to be video ads soon enough in our lifetime, probably. They'll be one of the banners on the hats, you know, that was just like the ticker tape that goes by.
Yeah, get a team to sponsor, like these bats are sponsored by Nathan's or something, or
yeah,
or the
stolen base sponsored by Taco Bell. I mean, they're already doing that.
Yeah.
Watch the pitch comes, give like a sponsorship in someone's ear, you know, as they're pitching. This is brought to you by.
That sounds awful for the game. It sounds like someone's going to be throwing a hot dog instead of a knuckleball. All right. I think we should look at the week ahead. We have a big series coming up. As was mentioned, we're playing the Braves at home for 4 games after this Washington series wraps up, which the Mets are now down 3-1 in the top of the eighth. Let's hope they can turn it around in time. Otherwise we'll have lost the series against the Nationals at home, which would be no good. But there's tonight's game, there is Thursday's game, and then we have 4 games against the Braves going from Friday to Monday.
Yeah, it looks like MLB.com lists no probable pitchers for the Braves, so can't even talk about those matchups. They're all TBD. I would assume we would get Max Fried at the very least.
Yeah, I think we're seeing Strider too. Because I think Strider pitched on Sunday or Monday, so it would make sense that he will see us. And Strider took, I think, a no-hitter into the eighth last game and struck out like 13, and he's been on fire this year. So,
yeah, Max Fried has been doing very well. He was injured, now he's back. He has a 0.6 ERA. I think he's only had like 2 starts or so. Yeah, Fried is also. So, it looks like we'll probably get Fried and Strider. It's going to be some tough matchups. But at least the Mets got David Peterson, McGill, and Budo lined up to pitch. So hopefully our bats can heat up a little bit and we can turn something around, because
we need something. We need something. The sound I just grimaced at was what happened on the game, which was Ottavino just threw a pickoff away.
Just saw that. It's
just errors abound. So I hope that, you know, the Mets can find their way out of whatever's going on, whatever funk they're in right now, and can get it together by Friday, because we really need those games against Atlanta. Those 4 games, we need our best. Hopefully we get Scherzer back for the first, or on the 1st of May. But, you know, sometimes the way baseball works, you know, you lose some games to bad teams and then it lights a fire under you and you play really well against the good teams. I'd prefer we win them all. But, you know, that's not how it works.
Yeah, what is 7-game homestand? If we can get 4 out of 7, I mean, at this rate, we're not going to, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll give them a pass for yesterday. You know, they came in at 6 a.m. Monday morning. Gary said, you know, and they had no time to really recover. So I'll give them yesterday, but I got to see those bats wake up today. I mean, if Escobar is the only reason you're pretty much have a run tonight, then we got a problem.
Yeah, they need a little spark plug of some sort or another. All right. Well, I think that will wrap up this week's episode. I want to thank Ben Marcus again for coming on and sharing his story about the Wilmer Flores game, as well as sharing the trivia question, which answer was Tom Seaver, which Tom Seaver, the great, raisin farmer. So really want to thank former raisin farmer, Tom Seaver. So I want to thank Ben again. We will see you next week. And as always, if you have any questions, complaints, good news, bad news, please email us at foolishlyfaithfulmetspod@gmail.com. We will see you LFGM.